This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. I'm Todd Hummel. Joining you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by NIL Game Changers, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and we are live in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, Kia in Sunbury and Hummel's Wharf. So Steve is in the midst of traveling right... Well, not in the midst of traveling right now. They had a bit of a delay in heading out to Michigan, so he's getting things around and getting over to the hotel. Last I knew, about eight minutes ago, they were just getting on the bus to get over to the hotel. So it's going to be a producer-heavy first segment here with me, and then in a little bit, Matt Cotrillo is going to join us. Sounds like he's wants to talk a little Saquon Barkley, a little LSU women's basketball in a little bit. I guess big day for local sports around here. Couple of big state playoff basketball games tonight and tomorrow. Your District 4 Class 5A champion Seals Grove heads out to Altoona High School to face Franklin Regional. Steve's not the only one that's going to be traveling. I'm going to be heading out to Altoona not soon after this show is over today. That should be a pretty good one. Franklin Regional is a pretty good team. They're going to look to push the ball, and that kind of the way Seals Grove wants to play too. I expect it to be a pretty entertaining game. District 4 Class 4A champion Danville, they head down to Catasauqua High School in Northampton, just a little bit north of Allentown. They will face Philadelphia, Carver Engineering and Science. That game tips off at 6 o'clock. That's the first game of a doubleheader down there. If either team wins, they would play Friday in the quarterfinals. Then tomorrow, it's a pretty small school heavy day in girls basketball. Lords Regional plays at 6 o'clock down at Hamburg against Linville Hill Christian School. And then Meadowbrook Christian School in Milton, they will head over to Schmoken actually to face Greenwood in another second round game. And then the winner of those two games will face off in the quarterfinals on Saturday. And you can get a little more dose of Matt Cotrillo. They'll be SECV8, I believe, will be on the call Wednesday at Shamokin when Meadowbrook and Milton play. I guess some other news for you Seals Grove football fans that follow on Eagle 107.3, the Seals have found the replacement for Coach Derek Hicks. Matt Wenrick will take over the program. He played for the state championship team in 2009 and was a fullback at Bloomsburg. Was a defensive assistant at Milton up until 2022, and should be a real good addition to the Seals program. They had some of Coach Hicks's staff resigned as well when he stepped down, so it's going to be interesting to see what kind of staff Matt puts together. That's going to be a big thing for him. We will, I think we'll take our first break here so we can get the full dose of Matt Cotrillo. You're listening to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve is, like I said a little bit earlier, Steve is still getting set up and getting ready out in Minneapolis. The plane left a little late today for Penn State. Faces Michigan in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. They'll be on the air 8:30 here on News Radio 1070. And the game is on the Big Ten Network at 9 o'clock. All righty. And we are here in the Sunbury Motors studio, and we are joined by Matt Cotrillo here. I made the joke to you when you got on the phone that it's Producer's Day here in this segment, and while the cat's away, the mice will play. So it's the floor's yours, my friend.
Well, this is a throwback for me when you and I used to do the high school football podcast when it was just you and me.
Yeah,
so this is fun.
We've kind of switched roles now. Now I'm the host, and I'm asking you questions.
That's exactly right. Well, first, Todd, I got to start obviously with Saquon now officially becoming an Eagle, and I got to tell you, I know there's a lot of Eagle fans, a lot of Eagle media intrigued, excited. I'm definitely Edwards, in terms of excitement of this, I would say I'm intrigued. I can't say I'm excited, but I'm definitely intrigued, and I have a lot of mixed emotions with this because obviously, you look at when the guy is healthy. This is basically the biggest factor in why I'm mixed about this. When he's healthy, obviously he's a game-changing back. We see the production that he's put up with and with the Giants. And honestly, if you ask me, when the Giants had to deal with, do you pay Daniel Jones? Do you pay Saquon? I think they probably should have went with Saquon, to be honest with you, because he was that offense. He was the heart and soul of that offense. Now, that's not necessarily how you should do things in the NFL, but that's how it was, and the Giants were semi-successful. I think there were a lot of other issues besides Saquon's health with the Giants in terms of the offensive side of the ball. So, but having said that, $37.75 million for a guy that missed three games last year and he's missed 25 games in the last 5 years, you're basically missing a quarter of the season per year. I mean, that's a lot of money to spend on a guy who's injured has a lot of injury history for a guy like Saquon, number one. But number two, when it goes against your philosophy and Howie Roseman, what the Eagles normally do, they don't really value running backs. They have until this point. You look at all the way back to DeAndre Swift last year. Cheap deal. He had a career year. Super Bowl year when they won it in 2017. With LeGarrette Blount, Corey Clement, all those, that whole core, they were all cheap running backs. Jay Ajayi, another one. The same in 2018. When you had Wendell Smallwood and all those other backs that were successful. And now you come to Barkley, and now he's the highest paid running back in franchise history. And now, granted, this is under Chip Kelly. I don't mean to insult Howie Roseman with the comparison to Chip Kelly here, but that he signed DeMarco Murray then to a huge contract, which was the biggest until Barkley yesterday, and we all know how that turned out. That blew up in the Eagles' face very quickly because it just wasn't the right fit. Here, at least it's the right fit. It's just, can he stay healthy? I don't know. But if he can, yeah, the Eagles' offense is going to be deadly next year. There's no question about that. But, I mean, the guy can't stay healthy. It's just simple as that. And so that makes me wonder. And I would have rather the Eagles just stuck with what worked last year, and that was DeAndre Swift. I know you probably would have had to pay a little bit more, and if you compare the two guys, if you're going to pay who's more worthy of being paid, yeah, it's Barkley. But I would rather pay a guy that I know I can count on that's going to be durable, and obviously was such a great fit in this offense last year, and DeAndre Swift. So, like I said, mixed emotions there on that one with Saquon now as an Eagle.
The rational person, I guess I have to be the rational person on this now since Steve isn't here. I guess my first thing is DeAndre Swift wasn't particularly healthy at the end of last year. And two, I think you might agree with this, is do you get maybe 97% of the production on a little cheaper deal if you wait 3 hours and sign Aaron Jones after he's released by the Packers? How much difference is there between Aaron Jones and Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, if you're asking me who I would rather have, it'd probably be Aaron Jones, because I think he's a little bit more durable. But again, if we're going to, based on who gives you better production, who's the better talent, obviously it's Saquon. So, like, but again, there's always the long cliche from Bill Polian, the former GM of the Colts. Availability is the number one thing with durability, and your number one ability is availability. And I've always been a big believer in that, and I ultimately would choose that over the talent that you get with Saquon. I mean, it's as simple as that. And then you keep with where your philosophy is. Honestly, I really thought the Eagles should be and were going to be spend a lot of the money on defense. Now, they did get in Huff yesterday from the Jets, which is a great signing, but I thought they would have just done more. Now, there's still a lot out there with safeties and stuff, but I think that's where the Eagles need to focus the books right now and not be paying a running back this amount of money.
I was a little surprised that their first giant wasn't the safety that went to the Packers. Is it McCarthy?
Xavier McKinney. Yeah,
yeah,
and
McKinney.
He was on my list too. Yeah, absolutely. And apparently the Eagles did try for him, but it just got outbid by the Packers there. I really thought he would have been a great fit as well, and I think he probably would have. I would have rather him than Barkley if you want to go between the two of them too. But I mean, yeah, I mean, so like I said, you can't say it's a terrible signing, but I mean, you definitely have to question going away from your philosophy for a guy that can't stay healthy. As simple as that. It's one thing if he's been the generational talent and he's been consistently on the field. It's another thing when you go against the philosophy for a guy that can't stay on the field for more than for at least a quarter of the season, the last five seasons.
And I also wonder now at safety with all the older guys out there, if they wait around a little bit and try and pick up one of those guys on maybe a one-year deal. You know, I know that's not ideal, but I mean, they can't be any worse back there with Jordan Poyer on a one-year deal than they were last year.
Yeah, I think that's where the Eagles really need to go next. And there's a lot of good players out there. I think as far as safety, with Poyer being one of them. So I think that's probably what the Eagles are going to do next. I'll be curious if something happens maybe later on today, early on tomorrow, when the league year officially begins at 4 p.m. I think it's when you'll start to see the safeties start to go here, now that the quarterbacks and the running backs have started to go now, and that carousel is pretty much done with as far as the big names go. So yeah, I would agree.
I think there was, what else, weren't a big fan of the fight Sunday, I assume, or the, I think fight's a little strong there. It was a little bit of pushing. Just happened.
Yeah,
the one girl was bigger than the other.
Fight, but it was definitely a scuffle, and Fuji Johnson's brother come on the court, and he was arrested there. I mean, it was ugly, so no, I was not. But, I mean, the fight is one thing, but the comments afterwards by Coach Mulkey, I think there was one article that put it trashy. I think that's the perfect way to put it. Now, when LSU made their run last year, I ripped the program to shreds with the way they handled themselves and conducted themselves when they made their run last year in the media, including Kim Mulkey, the head coach. It all starts with her. I said that exact same last year, the way she conducted herself in the media, it goes right down to her players with the way they conducted themselves. And the same thing happens here. When you say that you wish a certain player would have, the player who was already in the wrong from South Carolina and Kamiya Cardoso, would have pushed Angel Reese, who earlier in this game pulled the hair of somebody from South Carolina. Not only are those comments just wrong, wishing that a player who was in the wrong already pushed another player, not only are you condoning that, but you're condoning what your own player did during the game, which was uncalled for. So, I mean, this whole LSU women's program needs to look at itself in the mirror, and the athletic director needs to do something about that. Kim Mulkey needs to be held accountable for her actions, and I would say suspension and or fine, something, because this, to me, has officially crossed the line, and they have been right around that line last year or two when they've made their run here. But what Kim Mulkey said just made the whole situation worse. And the rest of her comments weren't terrible. If she had just left that part out of saying that I wish Kamiya Cardoso would have pushed Angel Reese, I would have had no problem with her comments. But the fact that she crossed the line yet again, that's what I have a major problem with, and she's got to be held accountable.
I would say that that's not even in the top five things that she's said in her career, and I I think if you're LSU, you know what you're getting when you hire her, especially with some of the things she said about the Baylor stuff with Art Briles, going back to when the men's basketball program had the murder case in the early 2000s. I think LSU knows what they're getting into, and as long as it took them to deal with Will Wade and all his recruiting violations and things like that, I don't think they're going to be too concerned about Kim Mulkey saying something dumb in the media for the 900th time.
Probably not. No, I mean, if they handled all that wrong, I mean, Steve and I talked about that for years. They're not going to do anything to Kim Mulkey, but I mean, that just goes with the whole aura right there that is around LSU athletics. I mean, you look at Brian Kelly, all of a sudden he thinks he's been a Southerner all of his life the minute he gets hired down there and screws over Notre Dame. So, yeah, I don't have very much high regard for LSU athletics. I can tell you that.
I mean, geez. It goes back to the 50s, my friend. Google Billy Cannon. I think it's just a function of, you know, big time athletics at this point is just, you know, winning covers a lot of ills, and she got a national championship last year, and you know, until Will Wade stopped winning it at the high level that he was, you know, for that couple years, I think, you know, they just winning covers a lot of ills.
Unfortunately, in terms of this case, it's true, but in this case, it's unfortunate. Yeah, unfortunate about that. And, you know, it's funny to mention that in
terms of... Hey, we're kind of losing you, buddy. You're going in and out.
Oh, I'm okay. That's correct.
Get out of the cave!
Is that better now?
Not much, actually.
Oh. I'm usually in my office here that normally has good service. I think I'm not sure what happened there.
Yeah, you sound like a robot. Yeah, maybe that's what it was. Maybe LSU heard what you said, and now they're messing with your phone to stop you.
Yeah, I definitely would stop you with that nowadays. But the final thing is, in terms of, you know, winning everything, obviously when it comes to the Yankees, and Garrett Cole now on the fence here that just came out yesterday. But I'm going back to Aaron Judge. Now, apparently, I get a little bit better now. He's got the MRI and his back negative on his abdominal strain. But it was reported 2 days ago that he was resting because of spring training. Now, I'm going to hit there a little bit early, but after missing the last month of the season last year, the last thing that I want to hear is you have spring training fatigue. I mean, the whole point of a rehab is get your injury and get back into game shape. I don't want to hear about the team. Why don't we even start the regular season test? So, the Aspen Center test one thing, but I mean, again, this is what I'm going back to stick on. It's the injuries. Availability is the most important ability. You have to be on the field, you got to stay healthy.
Steve and I talked about that part of it a little bit yesterday, and, you know, I don't know why they even, I said to him, I don't even know why they said spring training fatigue. Just give him 2 days off. Like, don't even, why would you even open him up for that?
Exactly. Yeah, there's that too. I mean, that's what you're talking about, two totally different things now.
Well, thanks for joining us, sir. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks.
Definitely. I plugged your game tomorrow at Shamokin too before I took the first commercial break, so I did you a favor too.
I do appreciate it. I'm very, very intrigued.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto Home Life Business Boat Motorcycle RV. They'll make sure you're fully insured, and they'll make sure they do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And the Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today in Minneapolis, where we literally just got in the room. And a place that is very special to Ray Dittinger, because it's where he and his son had the opportunity to share a Super Bowl championship about three blocks from where I'm sitting at U.S. Bank Stadium. Ray, welcome.
Oh, you bring back fond memories, Steve. That's yeah. Minneapolis will always have a very special place in my heart, because that's where I actually got to see the Eagles win their first Super Bowl, and I actually, as you said, got to share it with my NFL Films cameraman son, and that was a very, very special day.
Have you ever looked at the footage he shot?
Oh, seen it a million times, because he got the money shot that day. He got the he was shooting the Nick Foles wiring, which means that he was the one that shot that whole sideline conversation between Doug Peterson and Nick Foles when they cooked up the Philly special for that goal line play right before halftime. That wiring shot that has been aired probably a million times by now and will probably be aired, that'll probably be running in a loop forever at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was actually shot by my son.
What is it like for you? I know we're going to get to a couple of topics in a moment, but what is it like for you as a father knowing he did that?
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, I often refer to it as it was the perfect ending for the perfect day. I mean, it was everything about that, with what that all represented for the Eagles franchise and for the Philadelphia fan base to, you know, finally get to the Super Bowl against the evil empire and against Belichick and Brady, and you know, and win it with a backup quarterback and win it with a coach that nobody took seriously. And to see the way the Philadelphia fans took over Minneapolis that week, and then especially that day, was you know, it was tremendous. It was just great. It was the fulfillment of everybody's ambition. It was the fulfillment of everybody's dream, and it was and it was a wonderful healing for all the suffering that the Eagles fans had been putting up with all those years. That was great. And you know, it's one of the great things about NFL Films, Steve, is if it wasn't for NFL Films, and if it wasn't for the, you know, Ed Sable's brilliant idea years and years ago to wire coaches and players on the field, to this day we would never know what went down with Philly Special. I mean, we would always think that, you know, it was a moment of inspiration for Doug Peterson, you know, that Nick Foles came trotting over to the sidelines and Doug Peterson said, hey, let's run Philly Special, and Foles would have went out there and run it and scored the touchdown, and it would have been great. But, you know, to actually see how the whole thing went down and to actually see that it was Nick Foles that called that play, you know, that he's the one that says to Peterson, hey, how about Philly, which it makes it even funnier that he has the wrong name for the play, but, you know, that he's the one that suggests it, and then Peterson is who's looking at his flip card and obviously not thinking that at all. You know, he sort of looks up with this bewildered look on his face and then realizes, you know, hey, you know, that's not a bad idea, and then he says, yeah, let's do it. I mean, it's practically like drawing it up in the dirt in the schoolyard kind of play, but to roll that out there at the goal line right before halftime of a Super Bowl against Belichick and against the Patriots and pull it off is just tremendous. And we wouldn't know the whole arc of that story if we didn't hear the wiring. The wiring is what makes the whole thing brilliant.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then, of course, they are the ones that turned it into theater with music over the years.
Sure.
And everything. It's incredible. All right, so now I'm going to transition. I think you'll like the transition. Two players that were pivotal that day, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, have now decided it is time to retire. So when you look at this, Ray, and you see that they've retired, what have they lost, not just in player, but what have they lost in leadership with the two retiring?
Oh, it's huge. You know, it's huge, and I don't know how you go about replacing that. I really don't. That's, you know, they are, in terms of games played, Cox and Kelsey rank second and third in the history of the franchise. I mean, they played, you know, Cox played 180-some-odd games. Kelsey played 190-some-odd games. I mean, they played more games than the Bednariks, the Van Burens, the Ridge. I mean, all of those guys. I mean, they, in terms of games played, I mean, they're ahead of everybody, with the exception of Brandon Graham. So, exercised just tremendous leadership and influence on that team. There is no question that Kelsey, regardless, I mean, other quarterbacks came and went. I mean, we went through, we had Michael Vick, we had Carson Wentz, we had, Foles, we had all of these guys, and now Hurts. But the leader of the offense, the guy that everybody listened to, was Jason Kelsey, and for good reason. I mean, he was that smart, and he was that good. And he was that tough. I mean, as a guy that like never missed a game. I mean, he had 157 right. consecutive starts. So I mean, everything you wanted in a football player, everything you wanted in a leader, you had that in Jason Kelsey. And on the other side of the ball was Fletcher Cox, who I think only missed 6 games in his 12 seasons. So yeah, they were the voices that everybody respected in that locker room. And I don't know how you go about replacing guys like that. The fact of the matter is, you don't. I mean, other leaders will emerge, because that's just the nature of things. But again, will they find anybody that can achieve ultimately the kind of tenure and stature of those two guys? Very unlikely.
Free agency means a lot of movement at this time of the year. DeAndre Swift is now is going to be a Chicago Bear. And when it's all said and done, Saquon Barkley will be a Philadelphia Eagle. What were your thoughts when you saw Barkley migrate about 120 miles south?
Surprised. The rumor started last week that there was real interest on the Eagles' part for Saquon Barkley, and that Barkley was interested in playing for the Eagles. So we heard that, and I kept thinking, this really isn't the Eagles' way of doing business. Generally, they've been very successful now for a lot of years, you know, with Howie Roseman making these decisions. And they have never been a team that invested a whole lot of money or resources in the running back position. You know, they kind of abided by the conventional wisdom of the NFL now, is that, you know, you don't spend a whole lot of money at the running back position. You don't invest a whole lot of high draft picks at the running back position. You know, you can win Super Bowls, as Andy Reid has proven in Kansas City with Pacheco. You can win Super Bowls with 6th and 7th round draft picks back there. And the Eagles have kind of subscribed to that. But, you know, now all of a sudden, here comes Saquon Barkley, who is still, I do believe this, and certainly you know this better than anybody, having seen his whole college career, is a remarkable athlete. I mean, he's just a rare athlete. I mean, there's just not too many people that have his combination of size and speed and versatility that they offer to an offense. And guys like that just don't become free agents all that often. And so the lure was there for the Eagles to make what's a pretty bold move. You know, and good for Saquon Barkley. I mean, he gets a chance to kind of come home, and for a lot of money. I mean, if you're a running back in today's NFL, and you can negotiate a contract that's going to make you a minimum $12 million a year, if you can get to that figure as a running back in today's NFL, good for you, because it's hard to do. But Barkley did it, and now, you know, now he comes in, and I got to tell you, Steve, there's a lot of excitement here. People in Philadelphia are kind of like me, a little surprised that Barkley is going to be an Eagle. But they know him from Penn State, and have certainly seen him in Giants blue. And the idea of bringing him here to Philadelphia and putting him in this offense has got people pretty excited.
Well, they're all taking off those Sanders nameplates, and they're now putting on Barkley nameplates, going from one
exactly.
Penn State running back to another.
Exactly.
What's interesting, you talked about the money part of it, because Derrick Henry signed today with the Baltimore Ravens, and it's a 2-year, $20 million deal. It's less than Barkley, and it's fewer
right.
years than Barkley. That really fits in with what you're talking about as to what the, quote, going rate is for a running back in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's if you can get over 10 million a year as a running back, you're doing really well. And Saquon got that, you know, and with various clauses that are built into his contract, that if he hits certain incentives, he can, you know, this thing could go from 36 million to 45 million really easily.
Yes,
and that's fine. And look, I can't claim to know him nearly as well as you do from having been around him up at State College. But every time I've been in his company, I have been tremendously impressed by the kind of person he is. I mean, he just strikes you as a real solid citizen, you know. And I think the fact that he was the New York Giants NFL Man of the Year nominee 2 years running speaks to that. I mean, he's kind of everything you're looking for. I mean, he is the kind of guy that could very easily be the face of your franchise, which I kind of think he became in New York. And the people in New York are genuinely mad about this. I mean, he was really popular up there, even though there are some people that would write that, you know, his career was, you know, he had his injuries for sure, and, you know, the team had a losing record during most of those years, and but nobody held that against him. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that it was his fault. And there are a lot of people that are questioning the Giants' decision of a year ago to invest all of their money in Daniel Jones and just slap a franchise tag, you know, sort of a placeholder on Saquon Barkley, and now you find a year later that Saquon Barkley is leaving. And now the Giants, if you're the Giants, you're thinking about drafting a quarter. You're thinking about drafting a quarterback, and you know that makes your decision to re-up, you know, to invest the money they did and the years and they did in Daniel Jones. You know, a decision that was sort of a head scratcher at the time. It makes it look even worse now.
Well, this is what you're getting. Everything you said, the athlete, the NFL Man of the Year candidate, and so forth. The Eagles are also getting a guy that is about team. Saquon doesn't care about stats. He cares about team and winning, and I think that played into his decision to go to Philadelphia, because I think he looked over at Hurts and those guys and said, you know what, they can win. He just wants to win, and that's what he's all about.
That seems to be the way he's approaching this. With that in mind, the decision makes a lot of sense for him. Because he does have an opportunity now. Look, I don't think the Giants are close to winning anything, you know, and I don't know when they will be. At 27, given the shelf life of your typical NFL running back, if Saquon Barkley's ever going to have a chance to make a run at a championship, maybe win a Super Bowl, it wasn't going to happen in New York. If he's looking for a landing place, he's got one here. I mean, this is a team that's been to the playoffs, you know, 3 years in a row. I mean, they crashed and burned this year for sure, but it wasn't that long ago they were 10-1. So they've, right. You know, they've got some players here, and when you think about that offense, and you think about some of the playmakers they have on that offense, you know, with AJ Brown and you know Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, who's a really good tight end, and you know Jalen Hurts, who the last year was an MVP candidate at quarterback. You put Saquon Barkley out there, and a really good offensive line, even without Jason Kelce. I mean, that's a lot of firepower on that offense. It's certainly going to be the best offense that Saquon Barkley's ever played in. So for him, I mean, the chance to step into that situation, have a chance to win, and also have this sort of coming home feeling makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and one final question for you, Ray, then I'll let you go, because I really appreciate the time today. They locked up Dickerson on the offensive line, which you referenced. Free agency, to me, always sets up how you want to draft. So what kind of sense, you know, positionally should the Eagles look at in the draft based on what they've done in free agency?
Yeah, I think you're looking defense here. I really do. And if anybody saw the Eagles down the stretch last year, I mean, you know how that defense collapsed down the stretch. And frankly, it was a defense that really didn't play well all year, to be honest with you. I mean, even at 10-1, you watched them play, and they were giving up tons of big plays on defense. I mean, their secondary was just being shredded, and their linebackers were almost non-existent. I mean, you go through a whole game and you didn't even know who the linebackers were. So,
right.
I mean, they had you know, I mean, they had some pretty good players on the defensive line, but they had nothing at linebacker, and they had very little in the secondary. So that's it, Dave. That's it, Steve. I mean, if you're going into the draft, those are the areas that they have to address, and I would be very surprised. They never draft linebackers in the first round. That's just something they don't do. But I would be very surprised if that first round draft pick is not a corner. I think they need that young lockdown corner to begin rebuilding that secondary.
Ray, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Really enjoyed it, and I will salute U.S. Bank Stadium as I walk by it tonight.
Well, you do that, Steve. Enjoy. And it's always great talking to you. Take care.
Same. Thanks so much, Ray.
All right, Hall of Famer.
The Hall of Famer. I mean, that's because he's one of the best ever. You know, it's amazing. Certain people have the ability to give perspective. You know, and that's why Ray does that. And he does it in a way that, you know, say there's something he's critical of. He has a way of saying it in such a way where, like, yeah, I can see what he's talking about, and you don't feel like he's gone over the top when he does it. He's just the best. All right, we will come back with more in a moment. This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com as we continue from Minneapolis here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. In Minneapolis, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We left an hour and a half late this morning because the plane got in late last night. Now, charter flights, the rules are not as strict as commercial flights on rest. But because they got in so late, they needed the rest, whatever. So we hung at the airport for an hour and a half kind of waiting for them. I think I got there at 8:15, and we were in the air at 10:15, and then got in here. And, Todd, I have to admit, I threw all this equipment together within 3 minutes in terms of getting in here. So you have to update me. How was the Prince of Anger today?
He was all right. He was a little upset. He's not quite sold on the Saquon Barkley signing just because of the health issue.
How can he not be sold on Saquon Barkley? It's an upgrade.
he's worried about his availability. And Kim Mulkey got a little heat, and he had the same reaction to Aaron Judge and his spring training fatigue as we did yesterday. But that sounds like it's a little more serious than originally they let on yesterday.
Spring training fatigue. I got spring training fatigue. You know what? I'm getting Aaron Judge fatigue.
Yeah.
How about that one? Let's start with that. I'm getting Aaron Judge fatigue.
I thought he'd be a little more upset. Maybe he's pushing it down about Garrett Cole needing an MRI. I'd be a little more concerned about that at this point.
Yeah, you know what? And it's interesting because Cole, for the most part, has been pretty durable in his career. You know, and he goes out. This is not one of those, like, five-inning guys. I mean, Cole pitched 7 innings. You know, he'll get you into the 8th inning. I mean, which in today's game I think is – I think that's invaluable because I still believe starters should be going 7 innings. I think that that some of the pitchers are, to me, are, you know, they concentrate so much on pitch counts, it gets into their head, in my opinion, that when they get to a certain level, they can't pitch anymore on a particular day. See, that's where I think pitch counts come in. I think it's the mental part of it. Yeah, I'm good for 50. Oh, I'm at 51. I can't go anymore.